Now in verses 2 and 3 here, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, may I say to you that the Ten Commandments, I think we've found that in this epistle, are not the norm for Christian living. But you see, it doesn't mean you can break them. Now, when you're a little fellow in the home, you're to honor your father and your mother. And you're to honor them all your life by the life that you live. And the very interesting thing is that all of the commandments are repeated in the New Testament with the exception of the Sabbath day. Now, I'll get some letters on that one. But you find that as no commandment given to believers today, the Sabbath day. But you're to honor your father and mother. And the interesting thing is here, this is a commandment that has a promise of long life to those who keep it. And it's repeated here. It's the first commandment with promise. The others didn't promise you anything. They promised you something if you didn't keep them, but nothing if you did. And I think that you have two examples of those who did not follow it in Scripture, and their life was short. Samson and Absalom. Samson, a judge, died a young man. Absalom rebelled against David, a young man. Now, I think that's interesting to know that the Ten Commandments are given in the New Testament in a proper place, as this one is here, with the exception of the Sabbath day. Now, that's something for you to toy around with, by the way. Now, will you notice verse 4 here? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, or the discipline and admonition, instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, no such commandment was given to parents under the law. You see, under grace, there's always mutual responsibilities and interactive duties. The parent is not to vent a bad disposition on a child or punish him in a fit of rage. It's the parent's duty to teach the child the truths of the Scripture and then to live them before the child. Don't provoke your children to wrath. As a believer, you're to live like a believer. Now, fathers here, I think, includes the mothers also, but the emphasis, I think, is upon the father, for the discipline and training of the child is actually his responsibility. But the mothers included. Children are not to be provoked to anger. Now, this doesn't mean that they're to be treated as if they're sort of a cross between an orchid and a piece of Dresden china. I think, frankly, the Board of Education should be applied to the seat of knowledge. And that quite frequently, by the way. Proverbs had a great deal to say about this. He says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Like the father whipping the boy, and he said to him, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And the boy said, yeah, but not in the same place. And then Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. And foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 22:15. And I think one of the great problems today with these little folk that are in rebellion today, before it's time for them to be in rebellion, is simply because they needed to be whipped. They needed to be taken to the woodshed. And I'm not trying to get even, because I made quite a few trips there. And he says in 23, verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, when you whip the child, if you're not whipping him in anger, he makes it very clear here, don't provoke your children to wrath because they see you're venting on them a mean disposition, but yet you should be disciplining them and they won't die. Now, my mother whipped me a great deal more than my father did. In fact, she was at home with us, and I grew up as a boy. I was such a good boy, but I don't know why I seemed to get a whole lot of whippings. And I remember I learned something. And one of it was, when she began to whip me with a switch, and she could have hurt, I would yell at the top of my voice, "You are killing me! You are killing me!" And I found out that she didn't want me to yell like that. The neighbors would hear. And the neighbors would say, "My, that boy's mother's killing him." And so she would always let up when I would begin to yell like that. I found out, you know, it sort of softened the punishment that you receive. But friends, actually, she wasn't killing me. And the thing is, if you beat him, he won't die. And just keep that in mind when the little fella yells at the top of his voice. And if you can do it and still smile and say, "I'm doing it for the good of the boy." Now, we have here another statement of this. In Proverbs 29:15-17, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." Proverbs 29:15-17. Now, a child in a Christian home should be given Christian instruction that he might come to a vital relationship with Christ and be fortified when he comes in contact with the world. Now, I want to say this, that every parent ought to have the privilege of leading their child to a saving knowledge of Christ. Now, my wife never was my assistant pastor. I insisted on that. I never let her become president of the Missionary Society or hold any office in any women's organization, in any church I served. She was not my assistant. I told my board one time, I said, "My wife is my wife. She's not the assistant pastor. And her business is to take care of the home and the child." And I think that's important. My wife had the privilege that I'm afraid very few parents have today. One time when I was out on a trip, our little girl, I don't think she's over 7 or 8 years old, she's out playing. And she came in, and we were visiting, at least they were visiting, my wife's mother. She came in, and she said to my wife, she said, "Mama, I want to accept Jesus." And my wife took her in the bedroom, got down on her knees with her, and had the privilege of leading her own little child to the Lord. And I always felt that was much more important than to try to be a personal worker in the church. I know a great many personal workers today that have lost their children. My friend, that's your first responsibility, is your own child. And you better concentrate on that child. And if Christians today would do that instead of attending to everybody else's business and trying to raise everybody else's child, you get your own child to the Lord first. And that's your first responsibility. You see, I'm a retired preacher now, and I'm on radio. Nobody can throw a rock at me and hit me right now. I can say this today. But you know the interesting thing? I always said that. And that's not the way to make friends and influence people. I found that out. But it's in God's Word, and what's in God's Word, I've always wanted to say it. Now, it says here that the discipline that's to be of the Lord. Did you notice that? "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now that means of the Lord that discipline and instruction are administered in the name of the Lord. That's important.